The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome once again in our new episode of our program, The Second Caliph of Islam, Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu an. Again, we'll talk about the affairs of the caliphate of Faruq-i-Azam, radiyallahu an, and what did he first do as soon as he became the caliphate, and what was the level of respect that he showed towards his elders. Who's elder to Faruq-i-Azam radiyallahu an? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu an. Subhanallah. As Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu an is the most superior amongst the entire creation after the prophets. Afdalul Bashir ba'd al-Anbiya. And after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu an is Faruq-i-Azam radiyallahu an. In our last episode, we touched upon the topic of Faruq-i-Azam radiyallahu an's caliphate being established with the consensus of all the Sahaba. It was an agreed upon decision of all the Sahaba for Faruq-i-Azam radiallahu anhu to be the caliph. Not even a single Sahabi, they had any shadow of doubt regarding the caliphate of Faruq-i-Azam radiallahu anhu when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu announced for him to be the caliph after him. So all the companions, they happily agreed for Faruq-i-Azam radiallahu anhu to be the caliph. And we also covered the subject of the victories that were gained during the caliphate of Faruq-i-Azam radiyallahu anhu, and also the stipulation of Islamic law during his reign and how far the Islamic boundaries were spread. That achievement which was gained during the era of Faruq-i-Azam radiyallahu anhu was not gained in any other era. We very briefly touched upon this very subject as well. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about what Faruq-i-Azam radiyallahu anhu did as soon as he became the caliph and how he respected his elders, which would also serve as a great beacon of guidance for us as to how should we also respect our elders. And once we get to a prominent status, when we get to a prominent rank, what should our state also be in regards to our seniors, those who are superior to us. So before we delve deeper into our discussion of the day, let's first of all listen to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble prophet, the peace of our hearts and minds, the final messenger of Allah, the seal of the prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that he who sends salat upon me 50 times a day, I will shake hand on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So dear viewers, in relation to Faruq-i-Azam radiyallahu anhu's first new act that he started, that he executed after becoming the caliph, let's listen to it from how Ibn Shihab Zuhri rahimahullah defines it. So he writes that after Faruq-i-Azam radiyallahu anhu became the caliph, now the first new act that he executed was that he sat upon the step of the pulpit where Siddiqi Akbar radiyallahu anhu's blessed feet would be, meaning that he radiyallahu anhu sat on the last step of the blessed pulpit. That very pulpit had three steps. So Faruq-i-Azam radiyallahu anhu, he sat upon the third step, the last step, with his feet hanging on the ground. So the people, they said to him, لَوْ جَلَسْتَ حَيْثُ كَانَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ يَجْلِسُ, meaning it would have been better if you also sat on the step where Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu sat. To which he replied, حَسْبِ أَن يَكُونَ مَجْلِسِ حَيْثُ كَانَ تَكُونُ قَدَمَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ, meaning that this is a great honor for me that my sitting place is where the blessed feet of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu would be. Subhanallah. Look at the element of respect, dear viewers. Look at the element of love and affection. The element of respect over here that Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu is expressing for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he did not sit at the step where Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he sat. And this was why? Because he considered it to be a disrespect, according to him, to sit at the same place where Afdalul Bashar Ba'd al-Anbiya Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu sat. So he himself sat at the step where Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's blessed feet would be. And this also shows, dear viewers, that the aqidah of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu was that he would consider the sacred places, the sacred relics to be very sacred, as was the case in this very narration where he considered it to be an honor for him to sit at the place where the blessed feet of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu would be placed. And it was also him who wished for Maqam-e Ibrahim to be a place of salah, Musalla. And in his support, the verse of the Quran in Surah Baqarah was also revealed, where Maqam-e Ibrahim was asked to be made the station of prayer. It was asked to be made for the Musalla. So this also shows the aqidah of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. And when we talk about the blessed pulpit of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and Khulafa Rashideen, the four rightly guided caliphs who succeeded the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, how they showed respect towards this blessed pulpit. Regarding this, the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, writes in Fatawa Razaviya Sharif, he says that the blessed pulpit of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam had three steps other than the top plank upon which you would sit. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would stand upon the first step and deliver the sermon. Now, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he would stand upon the second step, and Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu would stand upon the third step. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would deliver sermon by standing on the first step. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu would do so by standing on the second step, and Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu would do so by standing on the third step. Now, the time of Uthman Ghani Dhun-Nurayn radiallahu anhu came. Now, what he does so by standing on the first step, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he stood and delivered the sermon. Now, people asked him the reason for this, and he said that if I stood upon the second step, then people would think that I'm considering myself to be equal to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And if I stood upon the third step and delivered the sermon, then people would think that I'm considering myself to be equal to Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. So I'm standing at a place where no shadow of doubt can occur in anyone's mind that I'm trying to equate myself to the one who delivered sermon by standing at this very step. Subhanallah. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So you can see, dear viewers, that what level of respect these honorable personalities had towards each other, and what great lesson there is for us as well in this, that how should we respect those who are superior to us. So the actual sunnah is to stand on the first step and deliver the sermon. But Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu stood on the second step out of the respect of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu stood upon the third step out of the respect of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And look at the mindset of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, Allahu Akbar, because there wasn't any more steps now. So what does he do? He stands on the same step as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? So that no one has any shadow of doubt in their minds that Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu is trying to equate himself to Abu Bakr Siddiq or Umar Farooq radiallahu anhuma. Because standing on the first step is where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stood. And no one in their wildest dreams would ever think that anyone is trying to equate himself to the beloved of Allah, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So this was the level of respect and love, dear viewers, that they had towards each other. And this also shows that whenever we have any religious teacher, we have any sheikh of a Kamil sheikh, so the place of his seating where they sit, we should respect that very area, that very place. We should not sit at that very place. We should sit at a place where an expression of respect is shown towards them. This is something very, very important that we learn from this very practice of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, where he showed the world, he showed the people that how do you respect your seniors. And he also showed people that Abu Bakr radiallahu anh is the most superior in the Ummah, and how greatly he showed that respect, that he sat at the last step where the feet of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh would be placed whilst he would be sitting on the second step. So after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, every caliph who succeeded, who came, they sat upon a step below than the step upon which the previous caliph would sit upon, until Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu came. And then we know he stood on the first step. We told the reason why there wasn't any more steps in the blessed pulpit. Had there been another step on the pulpit that was below the step upon which Faruqi Adam radiallahu anhu would sit, then definitely Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu would also sit upon that step, which would be below the step where Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu would sit. Subhanallah. Now, dear viewers, let's move forward and let's talk about the first sermon that Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu delivered after becoming the caliph. So Sayyidina Sha'bi rahimahullah says that Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu, after he became the caliph, he stood upon the pulpit, upon the minbar, and he gave a khutbah, he gave a sermon. He said, "Ma kanullahu liyarani an ara nafsi ahlan li majlisi Abi Bakr," meaning that may Allah not give me such courage that I consider myself to be capable or deserving of sitting at the place where Abu Bakr sat. Then he radiallahu anhu came a step down, and then he glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, "Keep reciting the Quran, you will gain its cognizance, you will gain its ma'rifah. Wa'amalu bihi takunu min ahlihi," meaning that keep acting upon the Quran, you will become Ahlul Qur'an, you will become the people of Qur'an. And keep holding your nafs to account before your actions are held to account. وَتَزَيَّنُوا لِلْعَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ يَوْمَ تُعْرَضُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً, meaning, and be prepared for that day of judgment, the day in which you will be presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing of yours will be concealed upon him. Nothing of yours will be hidden from him. No one can fulfill the right of any deserving person by obeying anyone in disobeying Allah Almighty. In following anyone in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by doing this, no one can fulfill the right of any deserving person. أَلَا وَإِنِّي أَنزَلْتُ نَفْسِي مِنْ مَالِ اللَّهِ بِمَنْزِلَةِ وَلِيِّ الْيَتِيمِ, meaning, and listen carefully, that in relation to the wealth of Allah, I place myself at the same place as a guardian of an orphan. وَإِنْ إِسْتَغْنَيْتُ عَفَفْتُ وَإِنْ إِفْتَقَرْتُ أَكَلْتُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, meaning that if me myself, I become wealthy, then I would preserve myself, I would refrain from eating anything from it without a need. And if I do not become wealthy, then I would eat through lawful means. So dear viewers, these are the words, the thought-provoking words that Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu delivered in his sermon, the first sermon after he became the caliph. Now dear viewers, one feature of the seerah of Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu which became prominent and highlighted was his strictness. That even during the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and when he radiallahu anhu also passed away, it was realized and highlighted that the nature of Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu was quite strict. Now, one major reason for this was that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was Khalifatul Rasulullah, and Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu was the minister of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now, in order to run the matters of an empire, of a state, it is necessary to have an equilibrium, a balance between softness and strictness. Now, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was extremely soft. He was extremely kind. Hence, there was a need for someone, for a minister of his, for a close associate of his, to have that element of strictness where this gap of equilibrium between softness and strictness could be fulfilled, so that the matters of the state could be run duly, could be run without any problem. This is the reason that when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam physically departed from this world, then the issues that were faced by the Muslim Ummah at that very time, if they were dealt with only softness and kindness, then desired and fruitful results would not have been attained. It was Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh who, through his strictness, brought that equilibrium, the missing equilibrium that was necessary to run the matters of the state in due manner. And now a time came when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh also passed away physically from this world. And now Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, he became the caliph. So after he became the caliph, he brought a great change in his character, and his strictness had changed into softness to a great deal. And because he radiallahu anh did not have any apparent minister for himself, so he himself had to fill this gap and bring that equilibrium between strictness and softness. Hence, he radiallahu anh became such a personality where the element of strictness and that of softness, which is required from a leader, from a caliph, both these elements duly reflected from his nature. And this is also evident from the fact that from the time that Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh became the caliph up until his last breath, no one ever complained about the strictness of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh. Because Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh would observe softness where softness was required, and he radiallahu anh observed strictness wherever strictness was required. So initially, some people, they were a bit concerned regarding the strictness of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, but that very concern of theirs was also removed after Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh took control of the matters of the state and he radiallahu anh became caliph. Now, dear viewers, after Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh became the caliph, now some people, they became very concerned. And they decided not to sit openly in a gathering in an open field. Now, people, they started to say that Khalifatul Rasulullah, meaning Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, the state of his softness and kindness was such that when he would pass by a path, then children, they would surround him and they would call him, "Oh, our father, oh, our father." And out of compassion and love, he radiallahu anh would put his hand over their head. But Amirul Mu'mineen Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, his awe and his strictness has dominated the hearts of people such that they've stopped sitting in open gatherings. So when Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh came to know about this concern of the people, and that some people, they are concerned from this very perspective, now what he does is that he made an announcement saying that Salah is about to be established, so people should gather in the masjid. Now, after people gathered in the masjid, now what happens is that Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh comes on the pulpit and he sits upon the step where the blessed feet of Khalifa Rasulullah Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh would be. Now, he glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sent salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. After this, he delivered a thought-provoking sermon. He says that, "I've come to know that some people are concerned about my strictness, and they say that Umar radiallahu anh used to be strict upon us during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even during the time of Khalifa Rasulullah Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh. And now all the matters are under his control," meaning now he has become the ruler. So he said that whoever said this, he has said the truth. "I stayed with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and remained his abd and servant. The mercy and compassion, the softness that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given, that cannot be adopted by any other human. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him rahmatul lil alameen and granted him two of his own attributes, Rauf and Rahim." Then he said that, "At that time, I was like an open sword. Wherever the Prophet ﷺ would want, he would withhold me, he would stop me. And wherever he would want, he would let go of me. And I would also go like a sword." To the extent that the Prophet ﷺ departed from this world physically, and he ﷺ was content with me. Upon this, I glorify Allah Almighty, and I have pride over this. When we say pride over this, not the negative element of pride, but pride in the sense of being content upon this very fact. He then said, the then Khalifa Rasulullah Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, his caliphate came. People cannot deny his softness and his generosity. I stayed as his servant and his aid, his helper, his supporter. And my strictness met with his softness. And even at that time, I stayed like an open sword. Wherever he would want, he would withhold me, he would stop me. And wherever he would want, he would let go of me. To the extent that Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anh also departed physically from this world. And in the state that he was content with me, he was happy of me. Upon this, I glorify Allah, and this is a great privilege, a great honor for me. And then I became your leader, and my strictness became double, twice as much as it was before. But O people, listen carefully, that my strictness is only for oppressors and those who cause havoc, those who are peaceful, those who are followers of Sharia, those who are noble individuals. I am so soft towards them that they themselves, even they wouldn't be soft towards them themselves. Whenever I see any oppressor casting any oppression, then I will not spare him at all. In fact, I would place his one cheek on the ground and the second one under my foot, until he does not repent from that very oppression of his. O people, let me mention a few things for your benefit. It is necessary upon me that I do not hide any wealth of spoil from you, and I spend that in the due means. Number two, he says that I keep paying you what is due to you. Number three, he says that I do not indulge you in any matter that is harmful for you. Number four, and if you prefer to go to battles, then I treat your household in a way that they don't feel for a second, they don't feel at all that you are not with them. And I give them love and affection in the same way as you do. Thus, I've said whatever I've wanted to, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for yours and mine forgiveness. So dear viewers, this is how beautifully Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu removed these concerns from the minds of people regarding his strictness, as his strictness had changed into softness after he became caliph to a great extent. And no one ever complained about his strictness after he became the caliph. And he clarified the point that his strictness even before was for the sake of Islam, as Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's softness required that element of strictness, which he radiallahu anhu fulfilled. And after he became the caliph, that level or that degree of strictness came down, and he made that beautiful equilibrium between softness and strictness himself, which was required to run the matters of a state duly. And then he also gathered people and removed this concern from their minds by mentioning why his strictness was at that level when the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu were there. And now when he's become the caliph, no one needs to be concerned anymore. No one needs to harbor this element of a fear in their hearts because of his strictness. Why? Because now the level of strictness has come down, and his strictness, his harshness is only for the oppressor, for wiping out oppression, and for the peacefulness to prevail, for ensuring that his subjects in his caliphate, they live under peace. And any such element or fabric of society who try to compromise the peacefulness, who try to create an upheaval, who try to create a discord, a havoc in the state, then my strictness and my harshness is for them. Sayyidina Sa'id bin Musayyib radiallahu anh and Abu Salama bin Abdul Rahman radiallahu anh say that by Allah, after Faruqi Azam radiallahu anh became the caliph, then he fulfilled all the promises that he had made to us. Then Sayyidina Sa'id bin Musayyib radiallahu anh and Abu Salama bin Abdul Rahman radiallahu anh, they mentioned some of the habits of Faruqi Azam radiallahu anh in these words, and I would present some of them in a summarized fashion. They said that he radiallahu anh was never strict without a reason. Wherever softness was needed, he radiallahu anh was soft over there, and wherever strictness was needed, he radiallahu anh was strict over there. Whenever the mujahideen, they would embark upon the journey of a war, then he radiallahu anh would be so affectionate towards their household that he would become Abu al-Iyal for them, meaning the head of the house, the head of the family. This is how much affectionate he would become towards them. Now, he radiallahu anhu would go to the doors of the mujahideen and he would ask them while standing outside that, has someone harmed you? Do you need something? Is there any need of yours? Shall I go to the marketplace and buy something for you? Because I do not like the fact that someone cheats you in buying and selling. So the household of the Mujahideen, they would send their servants with Farooq-i Azam radiallahu anhu. And when Farooq-i Azam radiallahu anhu would enter a marketplace, then there would be a group of servants behind him. And if any household wouldn't have servants, then Farooq-i Azam radiallahu anhu himself would take the goods and make that good delivered to the house of that very Mujahid's family. And whenever any letter of any Mujahid would come for his family, now Farooq-i Azam radiallahu anhu would take that letter himself to the house of that Mujahid. And he would say that, oh, the women of so and so Mujahid, your husband has gone in the path of Allah and you are living in the city of the Messenger of Allah. If there's anyone in your house who can read the letter, then well and good. Otherwise, come by the door and I would read the letter to you while standing outside. Then he would say that on so and so, a messenger from here would take letters from here to them. So make sure that the answers to these letters that you want to send to your husbands, have them ready for us by this and this time. And then he radiallahu anhu would also take ink pots and pens to the houses of those people. And if there would be any letter to be sent to the Mujahids in the battlefield, then he would gather them. And if there would be no one to write a letter in that household, then he radiallahu anhu would ask the household to come by the door, and he radiallahu anhu would stand outside the house and he would say to them that from inside, dictate it to me and I will write it down for you. Similarly, dear viewers, whenever they would embark upon a journey and they would camp somewhere, then when it would be time to leave, he would say that, let's go. And another person, he will say that, look, Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of believers, he's given the command to leave. So get up and let's go. So he radiallahu anhu would call out again. And the people would say that, look, Amirul Mu'mineen is calling out again. When people would get ready, then Amirul Mu'mineen would sit upon his camel and then they would leave. When people would depart from the area where they had camped, now Sayyidina Farooq-i Azam radiallahu anhu, he would come behind and he would see if anyone has missed any of his belongings or if any of them have forgotten any of their things over there. If so, then he would pick it up and take it to them. If anyone would have any kind of difficulty in their ride, then he radiallahu anhu would provide means for another ride for them. If anyone's belongings would be left behind or they would have forgotten behind, or anyone would have any kind of difficulty in carrying in continuing their journey further, then he radiallahu anhu would help them. And if anyone would lose their belongings, then he would take it from Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. And if anyone would lose anything, they would come to Farooq-i Azam radiallahu anhu and mention this issue of his to him. And Farooq-i Azam radiallahu anhu, he would have a wooden stand, and you can say lost property would be placed on it. And whoever would lose anything, they would come have a look over there. If they would find any of their belongings over there, they would pick it up from there. Similarly, dear viewers, the element of humility that was expressed from the character of Farooq-i Azam radiallahu anhu after becoming the caliph, when Bayt al-Muqaddas was conquered and when they were entering Bayt al-Muqaddas, that was also second to none. The people, they asked Farooq-i Azam radiallahu anhu to change his clothing, to change his clothes and wear fine clothing, exquisite clothing, and change his ride as well, as the enemy should know that the caliph of Muslims, that the leader of the faithful, the caliph of Islam is entering Bayt al-Muqaddas. But he radiallahu anhu, he sufficed upon the clothes that he was wearing, and very simple clothing he had on, and his mode of transport, the ride, was also very, very basic upon which he was. This was indeed humility and humbleness of Farooq-i Azam radiallahu anhu. Those personalities are such whose hearts were absolutely clean from all these spiritual diseases. But their statements, their actions, they carry a great lesson for us. That now Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh has become the caliph. He is the leader of the believers. He is the commander of the faithful. He has everything under his custody. He has control over everything. But still, how he fulfilled his promises, how he went to the houses of people and ask them whether they need anything. He would go and shop for them. He would ask for servants to be sent with them. And those who wouldn't have servants, he would deliver goods himself to their houses. He would help people write letters. He would help people fulfill their needs. He would ask them, Allahu Akbar, dear viewers, which element of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh should we discuss? Which element can we leave out? These are the practices of Farooq-e-Azam, dear viewers, that he performed after becoming the caliph. These are those actions of his, dear viewers, that are written in golden words in the history of Islam. In fact, in the history of mankind, where a leader of such authority lived such a simple life and spread the boundaries of Islam so far and wide, whose example is not seen in the history of mankind. This individual, dear viewers, this personality, the second caliph of Islam, of a master, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, dear viewers, he's such personality, he holds such legacy, whose example is not seen in the history of human race. Allahu Akbar. This is of a master, this is the legacy that he's left behind for us, the element of respecting your superiors, the element of looking after your subjects, the element of having humbleness in your nature, the element of fulfilling the needs of other people, the element of having piety, the element of simplicity, the element of humility, and the list goes on and on and on, and we can keep talking about the greatness of Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh. He's sitting here for hours and hours and hours, and yet won't be able to do justice even to a single attribute of his. But this was just a small effort, dear viewers, of ours to bring forward his greatness and his conduct after he radiallahu anh became caliph. May Allah Almighty shower his choices of mercies and blessings upon Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, and may Allah Almighty forgive us all without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatam in nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu.